Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Bolt here, and joining me today, oh my gosh, she's so famous. If you've watched anything, if you've watched webinars, any webinar that I've pretty much ever done, if you've listened to my TEDx talk, if you've, seen anything about Self-Publishing School, you've probably seen Emma Sumner. And the legend of Emma Sumner. She's awesome. And so she is one of our youngest authors and is actually, so she wrote her book at 8 years old. Maybe you're familiar. We're going to get into that a little bit. 8-year-old Emma Sumner just wrote this book, has inspired so many kids to write and publish books. I mean, I know Omer on our team, his daughter Savea is about to publish her book. I mean, just like this whole ripple effect. We've got kids coming to Self-Publishing School conferences now, writing books, the Omen family with Anita and her kids. And so just really, I mean, it's unbelievable. She was, her and I were on TV together. I talked like five words. They were not interested in what I had to say because everyone's interested in Emma and her story and her books. And just kind of how she's gone about this journey. So that's what we're going to be talking about in this interview today. So if you're thinking, you're a parent that says, "Hey, I've either written a book or I want to do this as part of my, alongside my kids or kid. Maybe this is distance learning. Maybe this is just a fun project or something that they want to do. Or maybe if you're a kid listening to this, watching to this." And you somehow found your way to this interview. Well, this will be helpful too. But this is gonna be awesome. So, Emma, welcome. Great to have you here.
It's nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So, talk to us about. I know I've told this story a bunch of times, but I'd love to hear it from your perspective. Like, what inspired you to write your book? How did that come about?
Yeah. Okay. So, me and my dad and my sister, we were having lunch one day. And he was working on something and I was really curious on what he was working on. And so I asked him and he said, "I'm writing a book." And I was like, "What kind of book are you writing?" And he said it was about physical therapy. And I was like, "That sounds cool. I want to write a book." And he said, "Okay." And I think he was thinking probably like one of like the books that you staple together, right? Because I've made a lot of those. And so he said, "If you can write 150 words, and if you can write all that and the characters, then I'll help you write it." So I said, okay. So I got a notebook that I just found. And then I worked on the characters and I worked on the idea for the book. And then by the end of the night, I had over 170 words.
Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. And so backtracking a little bit, this is for parents listening. And I say this all the time, parents, your kids are watching. They're watching what you're doing, that when you commit to a goal, they're watching you either go after that or not go after that, complete it or not complete it. In this case, Sean had joined Self-Publishing School years ago. He's been on the team now for years, huge part of what we're doing at Self-Publishing School and just our ability to grow and to help people. That preceded this, right? And so he said, "Hey, write 150 words." You did that in the first day or first night. How did you do that? Like, how did you even think through the characters and the plot and all that?
Yeah, so at the time I was really into like fairy books, like the Neverland series and all that stuff. And just had magic. I was a lot into magic. So it was pretty easy to come up what I wanted to write about. And the characters, it took a little bit of time. Like a lot of family came over for dinner that night. So I quickly ate my dinner and then I went back down and I kept writing. And I was just thinking like of the different traits that I would want to have. And so I put that in each of the characters and I made them like all their own character.
Oh, that's cool. So the different characters had different character traits that you wanted to have.
Yes. the traits that I wanted to have, or like by the end of the book, they did have it, even if they didn't start with it.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome, man. What a great parallel. How did you even come up with all this? Like the story, like did your dad give you like, hey, here's a couple things that you should do? Did he just say, hey, 150 words, just free write? Like how did you even come up with this concept of like, okay, there are these fairies, like they're embodying traits that I want to have by the end of the book, they'll have that. Like, did you go, here's the beginning, here's the end, now let me fill in the middle? Did it just kind of unfold? Like, what did that process look like from going from your first 170 words? We kind of talked about that a little bit, but then from that to actual draft of the book.
Okay. So, once my dad found out, like I wrote it, right? I wrote the 170 words. He realized I was serious. So then I actually had to like really think about the different characters, and I had to really think, what is my story really going to be about? And at the time I was very like, I read a lot of books, so it wasn't really too hard to come up with the concept of what was going to happen. And it kind of just came to my mind, and I was like, yeah, that works. So I worked on that, and then I just grew my ideas from the original idea I had about like a crystal that went missing, right? And then I just kind of, all of my ideas spread out from there.
Yeah. So did you, because I know we talk about this on the fiction side of things sometimes, like this idea of a plotter versus a pantser. So kind of someone who, plotter being someone who plots out, hey, this is all I'm going to write. Pantser who kind of writes by the seat of their pants and just like lets the story unfold. Which one of those were you?
I was definitely the second one.
Yeah, nice.
It was, it all just kind of came to me. I wrote it down, and then everything that came to me, I kind of just wrote it down, and then I just chose the one I liked best. Like the book I was writing after that, I tried to like plan everything out, and that was a lot harder for me. So I always just found myself trying to come back to just writing it and going from there.
That's great. That's great. Now what, so you go through this process, how did you, cause I mean, this is kind of interesting. Like a lot of people, this is one of the first things that they think about, but as naturally with some of this just uncovering as you went, how did you figure out what age group to write to? Like, was that an afterthought? Did you think about that in the beginning? Like, what were your thoughts? Like, you write it for an older age group, younger age group?
I honestly didn't think about like who my audience would be. I kind of like, it kind of just came to me after that. Like, I just like, I was writing for myself really. So really it was writing for my age group because I was really writing for myself. And so I didn't really think about who I was writing to after, but it was mainly the people in my age group.
Yeah. Well, and that's a cool example of so pretty intuitively doing exactly what we say, which is write to one person. So think of one person in your life that you know, and then write the book directly to them. It just so happened to be that person was the person you know better than anyone else, which is yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you wrote it to yourself.
Yeah, because never in my life I thought I would actually publish it, that it would actually be on a bookshelf. But because when I started, I was really just writing for myself to entertain myself. And then it kind of just grew from there.
Yeah. How did that happen? How did you go from, okay, this is this fun thing, I'm doing it, just kind of writing for myself, all that stuff, to at what point and how did it transition to, hold up, I might actually publish this thing?
It started when I realized every day after school, I was just coming home and writing in my notebook, right? And it may sound funny, but like all of my story was handwritten in that same notebook that I just picked up, right? So then I was like, you know, my hand's getting really tired and I was getting cramped up. So I transferred to a computer, right? And I was like, wow, this is actually something that I was like, I'm still doing.
That's awesome. And I, it's funny. One of the things we talk about is, and I think you're just such a perfect example of this, and this is why I tell your story all the time, is it's not about the book. It's about who you become in the process of writing the book. and like all the life skills that you learn, all the, and not even just writing the book, but publishing the book, marketing the book, all those things, like the life skills that you learn, the lessons that you learn, all this is like, just even that small thing, like, oh, cool, I'm now writing on a computer, which, you know, you're learning probably to type faster and like all those things, or I don't know, 8 years old, maybe learning to type on a computer in general, but just like all these life skills. Right. And so can you speak to like, kind of what were some of the things, if we're speaking just and from the writing to pre-publishing, like what are some of the biggest lessons that you learned? And it could be specific to the book side of things or just life lessons that you learned kind of throughout that process.
Definitely the biggest life lesson by far that I've learned was like, you can't really let people judge you. This is toward when I, right before I published the book, because right before I published it, I was kind of like in my room and I was kind of thinking like, what are people at school going to say, right? Because I was like, I was still thinking like, what are people at school going to say about this? And how are they going to react? And I was just really nervous about what people would think of me. And then it kind of just taught me like, you can't always let people, like what you think people are going to say or react, allow you to not do something that you want to do.
And how did you get through that? Because I remember, I know your dad's told me that story of like, what if no one likes this book? Like, what are people going to think? And almost that feeling of getting all the way to the finish line, maybe I shouldn't publish this because maybe people aren't going to like it. And I think there's so many adults who haven't pushed through that fear. And that's why they have a finished book that they haven't published, right? And so I guess my question for you would be, how did you work through that and kind of work up the courage to publish? And any tips based on what you learned from that, either for kids writing books or for adults writing books who are afraid to press that publish button?
Yeah, I mean, I went through like the same exact thing they did, and I'm still going through that right now. Like the fear of being judged by people. But you kind of, the thing that got me through it is like, not everyone's going to like it, but that's okay, because most people, they'll most likely like it. And even if they don't, it's something that you started to write for yourself and not for, or for that specific person that you were just talking about. Like, if you know that that one person that you're writing for is going to like it, then you should just do it.
That's great. That's such a great lesson. Now let's fast forward a little bit. So it's all right, this is fun, this is just for me, which is, it's funny how similar our journeys are actually. It's very similarly, is like my first book, it was, I said, hey, this is for a handful of friends, like I'm probably won't even publish it. But then exact same thing is what happened to you, is like through that process, you're like, hold up, I could actually publish this thing. So you round the corner, you say, hey, I'm all right, I'm gonna publish this. Walk us through that process. What was the process of taking it from the book's finished to actually publishing? How did you do that? And what were the lessons that you learned?
Okay, so right before I published it, again, I went through that fear of judgment. After I kind of got over that, I was still nervous throughout, but I started getting my family to like help me spread the word, right? And at first I was really only, again, writing for myself. So I didn't think that many people were going to read it anyways. I didn't think that hundreds of people would read it, right? I just thought that it'd be like me, my family, a couple friends that would actually read it. So, but then my family members, they all told everyone, and that's what got me a little nervous too.
Yeah.
That's what kind of what got me nervous too. I was like, oh, people are actually going to read this, and it's not just people I know. It's going to be other people. And so again, that fear came up again a little bit when that happened. I was like, what if people are going to leave like mean comments? Cause I don't know them personally. And so I kind of just had to get over it again. And it was kind of a struggle the second time once I realized that people were actually going to read it, but I just had to get through it. And once we published it, I realized it wasn't really as bad as I thought it would be. Right. Cause all the people that did read it, they liked it. And again, there was like a couple mean people, but it doesn't really matter. As long as the people that I really wrote it for like it, then I'm happy.
Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right, so if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement. When that's how you know you've made it.
Yeah.
That's why internally at SPS was like, we always celebrate your first 1-star review.
Yeah.
If everyone likes it, then you're probably not reaching enough people, or you haven't actually, created something meaningful, right?
Yeah.
If you create something meaningful, some people are not going to like it. And so I think that's such a great takeaway of, yes, there were people along that journey. Writing mean comments or putting the first 1-star review, but that's an accomplishment and it's something to celebrate along the journey.
Yeah, honestly, the first negative review I got, I was a little bit upset because it was mainly talking about how people didn't really think that I wrote it, right? And I was really I kind of got upset by that, but then I thought about it and then I ended up taking it as a compliment. Like, is it really that good where you don't think I actually wrote it, right? So you kind of have to take the mean comments and kind of turn it into something that is like a compliment, right?
That's fantastic. That's awesome. And a great lesson for folks. So talk to me about your launch. How did you launch this book so successfully? I mean, you sold all kinds of books. I think there was a partnership with like a local restaurant as part of the launch. Like there was all this different stuff. So can you walk us through like, what did you do to launch the book and how did that go so well?
I honestly really can't take all the credit. A lot of it goes to my aunt, who really reached out to a lot of people. She's really great at marketing. So she got the people to the news interviews, right? And so a lot of it goes to my aunt. And it's actually her birthday today. So
happy birthday.
Yeah. But yeah, so a lot of the marketing went to her. And then just like my family members in general, they all just told people. And if they read it and liked it, they told other people who got it as gifts for their niece or nephew. And the more people that like it or the more people that reach out, then those people that they reach out to people that they know.
That's great. Now walk us through what are some of the things that your aunt did that worked well for book sales? Like, I'll ask the bigger question and just a little bit, I want to talk specific to that, the local restaurant partnership, because I think you're one of the only people I've ever heard do that. And so I think that's really interesting and will be a good lesson for folks. But what are some of the things kind of like big picture that your aunt did or the types of things that she lined up to help market the book?
Okay. So one of the things that, she kept doing was like, she reached out to news people, right? She made, she also made like a website for my book, which that's how a lot of people found me and emailed me personally. Then she would help book it. And so she did a lot of news interviews and she made the website. She reached out to other people that knew, had other connections, right? And so they would tell people and then, which would lead to someone who wanted me to talk at a podcast like this.
That's great. Yeah. Shout out to Christina. Awesome. It was Christina who did this, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Aunt Christina, happy birthday. And great job. Thank you for your help. So let's talk restaurant partnership. I'm imagining that was Aunt Christina helped with that or maybe Papa Sean. who helped with that? And then how did you guys line that up? And then how did that coordinate to book sales?
I honestly think that, so there was another author there that day that I came into that store and they were talking about their book. So I think it was like probably my aunt or my dad that was talking to the manager there who also wrote a book at 15. And they were talking about my book too. And so they're like, well, what if we book something here for you, right? So then my school got involved. So they sent out flyers to come to Barnes & Noble and go to my book signing at Barnes & Noble's. And so the school got involved too. But I do think that my aunt and my dad were like talking to the people there and they were really interested in it. So they booked it.
And So people would come there, do the book signing, they could buy books, all those kind of things.
Yeah, so they were able to buy a book, or they were able to bring the book that they already had, and I would go and sign it or take a picture with
Nice.
them.
What was that feeling like, having your first ever book signing?
It was kind of nerve-wracking. So right before that, I had one at Fairytale Town, and that was with people I didn't know. But this one was a little bit more nerve-wracking because it was people from my school, so it was people I did know. And it was outside of school. And every time I see someone outside of school, it's a little awkward. So the fact that they were coming to Barnes and Nobles to see me was really nerve-wracking for me. So I saw a few of my friends. They brought like stuff like flowers and stuff. And so that calmed me down a little bit that my friends were there. And then I just saw other people I knew from school there. And the nerves came back down as the day went on.
Wow, that's awesome. You alluded to kind of the first book signing. You said at Fairy Tale Town. What was that? And yeah, what was that book signing, and how did that happen?
Okay, so that was also my aunt. She booked Fairytale Town, which where they were doing like an author, I'm not really sure what it was. It was like a ton of authors came together and they had their own booths that were selling their books, mainly for kids. It was they were doing the Fairytale Town. There was also like other kids publishing stuff and other authors for kids' books. So I came there and that was my first one. It was pretty exciting because I liked Fairytale Town already. So it was crazy that I was doing something there.
That's got to be a
And
cool feeling.
yeah, it was pretty crazy. So when people came up to me asking if I can sign their book, I mean, my handwriting wasn't really that great as a third grader. So I
Mine's
mean,
still
I
not
think my
great.
name was like, I was writing it like Anna instead of Emma. But yeah, so I had like all these different pens that I was writing in, and I kept writing like different stuff to every person, so it was kind of hard to think of stuff, but it was just really fun to see people that actually were standing in line to just to see me or just to get my
That's awesome.
name.
That's awesome. Yeah. What do you remember? And it's okay if you don't. Do you remember at all how many books you sold at either one of those book signings?
I honestly don't.
Was it like 10, 100, couple hundred?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe around 100. It was it was more than 10, but I don't think it was like 200.
Cool. That's awesome. And I think that's a good takeaway for folks too. It's just like we author events. And I mean, we obviously talk with folks beyond the book. It's we're always talking about podcasts, PR, publicity. It's like you were one of the original people that did this. And I think it's just such a great model of like you went on TV, you got in the local newspaper, you did a book signing, like all those things kind of created this grassroots movement where, like you said, it's like there's family buying it, and then it's friends of family, and then it's friends of the family, right? And then it's people at your school, and then it's the book signing people that you don't even know. And it's just like kind of this grassroots movement that can start locally, but then when that ties into what you're doing on Amazon, and now you're getting reviews for your book on Amazon, well, then now that's rising. And so now it's more discoverable statewide, nationwide, around the country, around the world, all those things. So I think just a great example of using publicity, using speaking opportunities, or I guess not speaking out. We haven't talked about the speaking opportunities yet. We will in a second. But book signings or author events to sell books. So this is great examples there. I'd love to transition a little bit to the speaking side of things. So you've since done speaking. Which is
Yeah.
just awesome. How did you tell us the story about how you got your first speaking gig and what that looked like?
The first speaking gig was at a local TV place. It was Sack and Co. And I was very nerve-wracked. I was a very shy person, a very shy kid. And so the fact that I was gonna speak on TV was way out of my mind. So I was probably like about to cry right before I went on. But once I got there, it was really local. So that kind of calmed me down. And they were talking to me, and I kind of just had to pretend like that the cameras didn't exist, and I was just talking to that one person, because I think if I kind of thought about how many people were actually watching it, I don't think I would have done it.
Yeah, that's great. And it's funny, the parallels throughout your story, right? Is it keeps coming back to speaking to one person. And yeah. How when you do that and you do that well, it just amplifies to so many more people. So how many times have you been on TV at this point?
I'm not really sure. I think maybe 5 to 6. I'm not really sure.
Okay. Yeah. That's amazing. So you guys started, you know, and obviously your aunt was helping with that, and you guys started, you know, reaching out to local TV, and then that kind of sparked around and helped build even more momentum. Any tips for folks based on what you know or what you saw your aunt do for other kids or even adults who want to get on TV to talk about their books? Anything you learned or any tips on how to do that?
At the time, I didn't know anyone. I was an 8-year-old. Yeah, so I think like the best thing is like make connections to, even if you don't know anyone personally that can get you that. I was really lucky because my aunt was someone that could do that. But if you just know someone who also, like, if you know them and they like your book, maybe they're going to tell someone and maybe they know someone, right?
Yeah.
Then once the word gets around, then someone that really likes your book, someone maybe that you don't even know, but there's a chain of people that you do know that brought them there. They're going to know, and they're going to get you that connection to speak at like TV shows and
stuff. That's so great. And that, you know, we call that advocate. They're your advocate, right? It's like, and I think this is a big thing, Emma, because a lot of people think like, oh my gosh, Emma's so lucky. Her aunt is like a great marketer and like plugged in, and I can't do that. I don't know Christina, all those things, but everyone knows someone who maybe knows someone who knows someone. Exactly what you just said. It's like maybe you're 1 degree away, 2 degrees away, 3 degrees away from someone who works at a local newspaper or from someone who works at a local TV station or radio station or whatever. And just that simple outreach of just like, hey, send them a book, give them a book.
And honestly,
could help. Yeah, go.
Yeah, honestly, it doesn't really matter like who you know. Like, I was very lucky that I had that person in my life to do it. But I think that you should just take all the opportunities you can, because you never know, like if you're just signing at this one really, really local, like coffee shop or whatever, right? Even if it's not as big as you want it to get, just do it, because then someone that's there, then they're going to know someone, right? And that just like every opportunity you take, it will definitely spread out to other people.
That's so great. It's such great advice. Now, so you talked about kind of your first speaking gigs in a TV setting. Talk to me about, I know you've spoken at a couple schools now. That's pretty cool. How'd you get your first speaking gig at a school? What did that look like?
So one of the teachers that went to that school, they read my book. Their children read that book. They really liked it. So they emailed me and they asked me like, they emailed my dad, asked if I could speak there. And so we said yes. So they talked to their principal and they got everything set up. They sent me like the amount of people that wanted a book or that ordered a book. So I signed all of them. And then we brought them back when I was speaking there. So it started like with one teacher usually, and they would really like it and they'd want to tell their class, and then they would tell the school.
That's awesome. And I think was it that one or the next one that you got paid a speaking fee and then you sold a bunch of books?
I think it was that one. Yeah.
Yeah. What was your speaking fee?
I think it was like $200 to $300. So I think it was $200 to $300.
Yeah. I think it was $250 if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I remember the first time, the first time I made any money like that, it was just it was brain shattering and earth shattering for me. Cause it's like, you know, a $7 minimum wage. It's like, it would have taken me weeks and weeks of working to make $250. And I mean, at 8 years old or 10 years old or however old you were by the time you did the speaking gig, it's like, that's just crazy. So $250 speaking fee. And then you sold a bunch of books. So I think it was over $1,000 from your first speaking gig or something.
Yeah. So I gained like about 1,300 bucks from the first speaking gig I did. And that was because like of all the people that
ordered the books. Yeah. And I remember your dad saying, you guys did basically you sent out a form, I think it was, to every kid in the school. You gave it to the school to say, hey, hand this to the kids. Their parents can fill this out if they want a book. And then they put cash along with that or something like that. And then their kid would bring it back. And then they gave you all the forms, and then you got the books printed and signed the books and all that stuff, and then showed up to speak. And then you had already pre-sold kind of all those or a bunch of books.
Yeah. So, a lot, yeah, we did the flyer thing, and then they like, attached the money. And then they brought it back into like these yellow envelopes. So that was one of the speaking gigs. And then the other one, the school took the money directly and then they wrote a check after.
Oh, cool. That's cool. And I think that's a great example and takeaway for folks, because there's a lot of adults who go to speak at schools who aren't smart enough to do that. and so that's a takeaway, is ask the school. The worst that they could say is no. Or ask the organization, the church, the company, the insert organization that you're going to speak in front of, ask them, hey, are you interested in either A, purchasing books for all the attendees, or B, sending out the opportunity for them to pre-purchase a book as part of the talk. And you'll be amazed how many more books that you sell. And I know some people even factor this into their speaking fee, is like, okay, my speaking fee's $3,000, but I'll also include 50 books or something like that. But I really like the way you guys did it. And I think it's super smart. And so how many speaking gigs have you done, like specific to schools or organizations or things like that, since, or like total?
For schools, I think I've done like two or three.
Yeah.
So cool. For schools, I've done like a couple. And cool. Just for other places in general, I haven't done many speaking gigs like personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just what, like in front of a camera. What was that?
What's your speaking fee now?
Oh, I'm not sure. I don't really come up with all that stuff.
So tell me this. So you said you've done two or three speaking gigs. What do you talk about? Like, especially, I mean, I think people would ask this, a lot of folks who write children's books is like, hold up. What do I talk about like at this speaking gig? What did you choose to talk about?
I really just talked about like the journey that I took, kind of like what we're talking about right now. So I just talked about my journey and the challenges that were on the way. I talked a little bit about, I honestly didn't talk much about what happened in the book, because I wanted people to find out themselves if they really were interested. But I did talk a little bit about like the characters, the main character, and what they were going through, and the character development.
Oh, that's cool. That's great. Hey, I got a couple of final questions for you. What would be your, I'm going to ask two different ones for parents and for kids. So we'll start with kids. What are kind of your parting tips or pieces of advice for kids who are thinking about writing a book? And maybe, so think about all the other Emmas of the world, or the Emma from how many ever years ago, 8-year-old Emma, like what would be your advice be to those folks thinking about writing a book?
I would definitely say just go for it, because I have a lot of friends who are like, they're really creative. They're way more creative than I could ever be. Honestly, I have a lot of friends that are that way, but they're just really imitated and intimidated in writing a book. So they're like, that's just way too much, right? So I was like, just go for it, because honestly, once you get in the process of it, then it becomes something that you really like to do. And just keep it fun and write for that one person. Usually I would say write for yourself, because if you're not writing for yourself, if you're not enjoying what you're writing, it's going to be really difficult.
Yeah. And I think you've got a group of kids who are all writing books now, or something like that. There's been a few, are these your relatives? I think your dad was saying something about, you got a bunch of different people that you're helping.
Yeah. So I have a friend group that, they were there since, one of them's been there since I published my first one. She was like my biggest fan. She went to all my signings and everything. So cool. She's writing her book, and she's one of the most creative people I know. And so she's writing her book, and she actually has a really good story, and I hope she goes through with it, because I think it would do really great. And then our other friend too. And then my cousin, I'm not really sure. He's thinking about it. I hope he does. But
cool.
Yeah.
What's your friend's name that's super creative that's working on the book?
Annabelle Dotson.
Annabelle, you've got this. Keep going. You can do it.
I know she's doing really great.
That's awesome. Hey, what parting piece of advice for parents? So on the flip side, so the parents who are listening to this, watching this, thinking about, hey, should I do this with my kids? Like, or my kid or kids, should I not? How would I even go through the process? Like any tips, kind of knowing what you know now for parents?
Honestly, just like let them do their thing, like let them write what they want to write. It's great to like help them out. It's great to like give them advice. I definitely think that you should help them with the process, but also just like let them write, let them do what they want to do, because if they feel like that, it's better when they feel like they're in control versus like, oh, I'm just someone who's helping with something. It's like, it's better to think that they're in control.
Yeah, for sure. And don't get too involved.
Yeah.
Get involved in enough of a way that's helpful, but don't do it for them. Don't get in their way, all that. That's great. And you've got an amazing dad. I know you know that.
Yeah. He couldn't have done any better. Like he helped me come up with ideas if I was ever stuck. I went through writer's block like a ton. So he would help me come up with like, oh, well, what if they did this? Right. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. So then he would just let me do my own thing. Mm. And then I would write it from there and I'll be like, hey, how does this look? It looks great.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Love your dad. Appreciate your dad. And I know that you do too. And just such a great example for parents thinking about modeling this process. And I know Sean wrote a post on the Self-Publishing School site. If you guys are interested in that, you can check it out. And it kind of walks through in more detail Emma's journey and kind of them co-piloting that journey and having fun along the way. So guys, if you're interested in writing a children's book, so with your kids or if for yourself, we've got a children's book school at Self-Publishing School, amazing curriculum, amazing content. And it's like, this wasn't even developed when Emma went through the program. I think we had some basic children's book training, but now it's really advanced, really helpful. There's templates, there's book dummies, there's illustration resources. There's all kinds of stuff. We've got great resources. There's two resources if you want to learn more. Number one is we've got a 45 minute or so training all about how to create and publish a children's book. You can find and register for that. Go to self-publishingschool.com/kids. So self-publishingschool.com/kids to register for the training webinar. If you're listening to this, watching this, you're thinking, I don't even need to go to that training. I want to work with you guys and go through children's book school. Just go to self-publishingschool.com/children. That's self-publishingschool.com/children. You can book a call with someone on the team and we'll chat with you about your goals for your book, your challenges with your book, your next steps, kind of create a plan. If you're a fit and if you qualify to work with us, we'll talk about what that looks like. You can get enrolled in the program. And it's kind of fun. I think as of recording this video and this podcast interview, we just launched a brand new children's book school program, and the first 100 founding members are funding a library in a third world country through Fund a Library. So really cool. I think we haven't quite hit that 100 mark. We're very quickly approaching that. It's been really cool to see just the traction so far for the children's book school. But depending on when you're watching this or seeing this, if you sign up for the children's book school, you'll be one of those founding first 100 members. So self-publishingschool.com/children to book a call with the team. Emma, this has been amazing. You are amazing. You're inspiring so many kids, so many parents, so many adults to write and publish books. I mean, I know you probably know this, but it's just amazing seeing the woman that you're becoming and just the person that you're becoming, just the life skills that you're learning. I mean, I talk about it all the time because it's inspiring to me, and just seeing who you are and who you're becoming, the life skills that you're learning, the confidence that's like your life is forever changed throughout this. And so I appreciate you. I appreciate you inspiring so many other kids, adults, and just it's awesome. Awesome. Awesome to see. And you're going to go very, very far. And I know you've inspired a lot of people, myself included. So final question, this is a big one. Where do people go to find out more about you and to buy your book, soon to be books? Cause I know you got one or two more in the works.
You can go to emmalovesbooks.com.
emmalovesbooks.com. Emma Sumner. You can also just search Emma Sumner on Amazon, find her book, probably soon to be books on there as well. So Emma, you're awesome. Thank you so much. This has been amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help the podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.